Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. As true Christians, we are supposed to follow the lead of Jesus Christ, and we are supposed to do what Jesus Christ tells us to do. And we're not supposed to add anything to the true worship of God, which is detrimental to and in opposition with the true worship. I mean, that should be self-evident, but nevertheless, far too many have different ideas about how to worship God. Now, God made a point very clear to the ancient Israelites. When they went into the land, the promised land coming out of Egypt, he warned them in Deuteronomy chapter 12, beginning in verse 29. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not even inquire after their gods, saying, how did these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. In other words, I am going to worship the true God in the way how the nations worship their gods. God says, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. For every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. And then he says in verse 32, whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. So I'd like to talk in this program about the origins of the Christmas tree. Because the Christmas tree, my friends, as you will see, has nothing to do with the birth of Christ. It is something which was added, which God does not approve of. We have published a booklet, Don't Keep Christmas. And in this booklet, Don't Keep Christmas, we made a few statements regarding the Christmas tree, which I'd like to bring to your attention now. We're saying in this booklet, perhaps the most cherished Christmas custom of all is the Christmas tree. The Christmas tree, an evergreen tree, was a pagan object of worship. It exemplifies on a large scale its pagan and demonic origins, and the incorporation of pagan customs into Orthodox Christianity. Before you shake your head with unbelief, just keep on listening. We go on to say, first consider this quote from the Reader's Digest book, Why in the World? It's a very interesting book which goes into all kinds of different reasons as to why we are doing the things we are doing today, but I want to limit it today to the Christmas tree. We say in here that this book discusses the question as to why people touch wood or knock on wood for so-called good luck. The belief that touching wood will placate the evil spirits goes back to pagan times when trees were held sacred as the abode of gods. These gods chose some trees to be evergreen, a sign of immortality. Touching a tree was a mark of respect to the gods, a request for favor to be granted, or thanks for one already given. Now, what does this have to do with the Christmas tree? Keep on listening. One of these pagan gods who lived in sacred trees was Attis. He was a god of vegetation and a tree spirit. Attis was not the only tree god or tree spirit. The god of Egypt, Osiris, was also a tree spirit. He was a pagan god whose annual death and resurrection have been celebrated in so many lands. James Fraser, in his book The Golden Bough, is pointing out. Now, this book has a lot to say about other pagan rites and how they entered Christianity. He goes on to say that in inscriptions, Osiris is referred to as the one in the tree. Then Fraser introduces us to the Greek god Bacchus, or Dionysus, the bull-shaped god of the vine. Like the other gods of vegetation, Dionysus was believed to have died a violent death, but to have been brought to life again, and his sufferings, death, and resurrection were enacted in sacred rites. In addition to being a god of the vine, Dionysus was also, and I quote, a god of trees in general. Thus we are told that almost all the Greeks sacrificed to Dionysus of the tree. In Boeotia, one of the titles was Dionysus in the tree. Amongst the trees particularly sacred to him, in addition to the vine, was the pine tree. The Delphic oracle commanded the Corinthians to worship a particular pine tree equally with the god. Now, Paul, the Apostle Paul, said a lot to the Corinthians about their pagan customs and how they came out of them, and he warns them not to go back into them. The booklet goes on to say, the pine tree was believed to be the abode of pagan gods. Actually, pagan gods supposedly changed into pine trees. As such, the pine tree was adorned with violets and treated as a divinity or deity. In fact, it was worshipped as a god. The similarities with the modern custom of decorating an evergreen or pine tree as a Christmas tree and singing carols in front of it are striking. And to think that those practices derived from the worship of pagan gods or demons, because the Bible does call pagan gods demons, is frightening. Ralph Woodrow wrote in Babylon Mystery Religion, edited 1981, on page 152, the Christmas tree recapitulates the idea of tree worship. Gilded nuts and balls symbolizing the sun. All of the festivities of the winter solstice have been absorbed in Christmas Day. The Christmas tree was absorbed from the honors paid to Odin's sacred or sacred fir. Now, some say, so what? Okay, that's what they did, and I don't care about that because I don't do it that way. Now, let me first ask you this question. Since Christmas apparently has been around for quite a long time, does the Bible have anything to say about it? And the answer is yes, already in the Old Testament, but it's condemned by God, not congratulated. You see, in our booklet, we point out that in Jeremiah chapter 10, beginning in verse 2, you find a description of the Christmas tree. Let me read it to you. Thus says the Lord, do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the customs of the peoples are futile. For one cuts a tree from the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They decorate it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers so that it will not topple. They are upright like a palm tree and they cannot speak. They must be carried because they cannot go themselves. Now to me, this is a description of the Christmas tree. Now others say, that's not really talking about the Christmas tree, it's just talking about wooden idols. Now, remember, as we have pointed out, the pagans believed that their gods, Attis, Osiris, Dionysus, others, lived as tree spirits in pine trees, as we point out in this booklet here now. They believed that their gods actually changed into those trees, and they carried these sacred trees to a certain place of worship, decorated them, and adorned them as deities. They adored them as deities, I should say. Jeremiah 10, we go on to say, Jeremiah 10 condemns any kind of religious worship that includes the decoration of a pine tree or a green tree, as well as the religious doctrines associated with such customs. The Lamsa translation continues Jeremiah 10 verse 8 as follows, but altogether the vain doctrines of wooden image worship shall be utterly destroyed and consumed. Some say that they don't worship the Christmas tree and that's therefore all right to decorate a pine tree at Christmas times. However, that is not what God says. When the Israelites made a golden calf, they argued in a similar fashion. Now, Exodus chapter 32, beginning at verse 1, tells us this. Now, when the people saw that Moses delayed coming down from the mountain, the people gathered together to Aaron and said to him, come, make us gods, or a god, as the margin has it, that shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And Aaron said to them, break off the golden earrings which are in their ears, the ears of your wives, and the ears of your sons and your daughters, and bring them to me. And so all the people broke off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received the gold from their hand, and he fashioned it with an engraving tool, and made a molded calf. And then they said, this is your God, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. And so when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. The Israelites used the pagan idol of an animal for the worship of God. They didn't believe that God looked like a calf, but they used it as a cultic element in their worship of God, thinking that it somehow represented God. They thought they were worshiping God. After all, they were celebrating a feast to the Lord. And that their use of a pagan cult object in that worship was acceptable to God. The same can be said about the Christmas tree today. This tree, with its gold, its silver, its blue and purple decorations, today we could add silver tinsel, was used as a cultic means or a subject to worship God. But that's exactly what God condemns. When the Israelites at the time of Moses built the golden calf, they invented their own cultic objects and means of worship, as well as the time for their religious festival. They had obviously adopted those worship rites from their stay in pagan Egypt. But God didn't accept that kind of worship, nor does he accept it today. In his eyes, they corrupted themselves, verse 7, and they worshiped the calf, not God, verse 8. God is a jealous God. He insists that he be worshiped in the way that he has set before us. Otherwise, our worship will not be accepted. It will be useless and vain, as you read in Matthew or in Mark chapter 7. That's what Christ says. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men, and thereby doing aside or putting aside the commandments of God. My friends, we should know, that Christ wasn't born anywhere near December 25. No way he was, but those pagan gods allegedly were. Christmas celebrations go back to paganism, and the Christmas tree was the main object of that celebration. Now, here are the facts. You got to decide. In our booklet, Don't Keep Christmas, there's a lot more written about Christmas celebrations, where it comes from, that the early church never kept it, that Christ never kept it, how it entered Orthodox Christianity. You need to know those facts, but more importantly, you need to act upon them. I pray you will. Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.